Today we're getting into a really useful DNB move, the warehouse method for tightening a BAS line in Ableton Live 12. This is for those jungle, old school DNB, rollers, and darker breakbeat styles where the bass has to feel disciplined, heavy, and intentional. Not just in time, but in relationship with the break. That's the big idea here. Tight bass in drum and bass is not only about where the notes start, it's about how long they ring, how they leave space for the snare, how they sit in mono, and how much attitude they bring without muddying the groove. Think of it like a warehouse club system. Big, controlled, punchy, and focused. No extra fluff, just weight and precision. First, set up your bass properly. A really solid starting point is to split it into two layers. One layer is your sub, and one layer is your mid-bass or Reese character. For the sub, keep it clean. Use a sine wave in operator or wave eatable. Keep it low, and make sure it stays mono. If you're using a utility device, set the width all the way down to zero on the sub chain. Then build a mid-bass layer with more personality. This can be a detuned saw, a square blend, a Reese, or even a resampled patch. The mid layer is where your bite, motion, and grit live. You can let this layer be a little wider, but don't let the low end wander all over the stereo field. That's where tracks start falling apart fast. A good coaching tip here, before you try to make the bass louder, make it more committed. Tightness is really about commitment. Every note should know whether it's a sub note, a mid-bass hit, or a passing accent. Now write the bass against the break, not on top of it. This matters a lot in jungle and old-school DNB. The breakbeat is the engine, so the bass has to respect it. Drop your breakbeat in first and build the bass around the snare pattern and the ghost notes. A strong first move is to hit the bass right after the snare, then leave space before the next snare lands. If the break has a fill or a snare roll, mute the bass there and bring it back on the next downbeat. That little gap creates tension, and the return hits much harder. When you're programming the MIDI, keep the notes short at first. Don't start with long, washed out notes unless you really want that sustained section. For a warehouse style bass line, the note length is usually the real problem, not the timing. A lot of bass lines feel loose because the tails are hanging too long. So shorten the notes until the groove starts snapping into place. If the patch has a long release, tighten that too. You can reduce amp release, lower sustain, and shape the envelope so each hit is clean. If you still need more control, try a gate after the instrument. Keep the attack fast, the release short, and set the threshold so the tail shuts off cleanly. That's especially handy if you're working with a Reese that rings out too much. One useful mindset shift here. If the bass feels late, inspect the end of the note first, not the beginning. A note that hangs too long can make the next hit feel sloppy, even when the MIDI is technically on time. Next, give the groove some life, but keep it under control. DNB does need movement, but it doesn't need chaos. Use groove pool lightly if you want a subtle swing, or extract groove from the break if it has a feel you like. Apply it gently to the bass clip. The goal is for the bass to feel like it belongs to the same rhythmic world as the drums, not to drift away from them. If the groove feels too rigid, change the note lengths before you start moving the timing around. Tiny changes in release and duration can make the bass feel human without making it sloppy. That's a much safer move than overswinging everything. Now let's make it hit harder on small speakers and on a big system. A really solid stock Ableton chain for the mid-bass is Saturator, Drum Bus, EQ8, and Utility. Start with Saturator and add just enough drive to give the bass density. If it starts getting too spiky, turn on Soft Clip. Then use Drum Bus carefully. A little drive can bring out the attitude, but don't overdo the boom unless you want that extra thump. If the bass is too clicky, use the transient control to soften it a bit. After that, EQ8 is where you clean the mess up. Cut unnecessary sub-rumble below about 30 Hz. If the Reese is biting too hard, reduce some of that harshness in the upper mids. And if the bass is fighting the snare, make a small dip where the snare body sits. This is where people often forget that tightness is not just tone. It's arrangement, envelope, and frequency space all working together. Put utility at the end and check your mono situation often. The sub should be dead center, no question. The mid-bass can have some width if the style calls for it, but keep it controlled. In a heavy club-focused DNB tune, too much width can make the bass feel impressive in solo and weak in context. A really important check here. Test the bass with the kick and snare only. If it sounds messy there, it's not the full mix that's the problem. It's the relationship between those three core elements. Now we get into phrasing, and this is where the bass line starts sounding like a proper track instead of a loop. Think in phrases of one bar, two bars, or four bars. Make the bass answer the drums. For example, bar one might have a strong hit after the snare, Bar 2 might answer with a shorter stab, bar 3 might drop out for a break fill, and bar 4 might come back a little more aggressive. That call and response language is classic jungle energy. It gives the bass character without needing a million notes. Velocity helps a lot here too. Don't make every note equal. Let the main hits be strong, the response notes a little softer, and the ghost notes quiet and short. That creates hierarchy, and the listener understands the phrase faster. A great old-school trick is to keep the bass line simpler in the first half of the drop, then add a variation in the second half. That variation can be a small octave jump, a pickup note, or even just one bar of silence before the next phrase lands. Sometimes the most powerful move is subtraction. If you want even more control and character, resample the bass. This is a very warehouse-friendly workflow. Bounce the bass to audio, trim it tightly, and then start editing the waveform like it's part of the drums. You can slice tiny hits, reverse one for tension, clean up tails with fades, and place the audio exactly where it needs to sit in relation to the break. This is especially useful with respaces, because once you print them, you can commit to the tone and stop second-guessing the MIDI. Resampling also makes it easier to tighten the bass around the snare and kick. If the note is stepping on the drum, just cut the tail shorter. Sometimes that's way more effective than trying to solve everything with EQ. Now we add movement with automation, but keep it subtle. A warehouse-style bassline should feel alive, not overworked. Automate filter cutoff on the mid-bass for tension, especially toward the end of an 8-bar section. A small sweep open can create lift, then snap it back down on the restart. That gives you that pressure-building, warehouse door kind of feeling. You can also automate a little extra saturator drive at the end of a phrase, or a tiny gain lift with utility for one important note. Just a little bit. The goal is to make the drop feel like it's breathing, not like it's changing personality every bar. A really effective arrangement move is to leave a half bar or one bar gap before a major switch up. Silence makes the return feel bigger. In DNB, that moment of absence can hit harder than a bunch of extra notes. Let's quickly go over the most common mistakes. The first one is making the notes too long. That's the big warehouse killer. If the bass is blurry, shorten the note length and reduce the release before doing anything else. Another mistake is widening the low end too much. Keep the sub mono. If you want width, add it above the low end only. Don't let the bass fight the snare. If the snare disappears when the bass enters, you probably need to clear out some low mid space. Also, don't distort everything too early. Build the sound in layers. Clean sub first, dirty mid later. And finally, don't swing the bass too hard. DNB wants movement, but it also wants lock. Controlled looseness is the goal. If you want to push this method further, try a few advanced variations. You can shift one bass hit slightly earlier or later for a ghost hit lean. You can use velocity to create real structure, where the loudest notes are the main hits and quieter ones are just passing movement. You can also flip the contour at the end of a phrase, so if the pattern usually climbs, the ending drops instead. Little changes like that keep loops from sounding cloned. Here's a strong practice challenge for you. Load a chopped break or a classic two-step loop. Build a two-bar bass pattern with 4 to 6 notes max. Shorten every note until the groove feels punchy. Add one sub layer and one mid layer. Mono the sub. Add a touch of saturation. Apply subtle groove. Automate one filter sweep over 8 bars, and then resample it for 4 bars. Compare the MIDI version and the resampled version. Ask yourself which one feels more warehouse ready. If you want to really test yourself, make 2 versions. One that's more jungle with extra gaps and sharper call and response, and one that's more roller-like with steadier pressure and fewer interruptions. So the big takeaway is this. The warehouse method is about discipline. Tight note lengths, mono sub control, careful saturation, and phrasing that works with the break instead of crowding it. When the bass is tight, the whole track suddenly sounds more serious, more powerful, and way more authentic. And once you hear that bass lock into the break properly, yeah, that's the good stuff. That's the sound.